This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Misunderstood song they ever came out with. Everybody had their own lyrics to that one. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, June the 28th. Moving along towards the 4th of July holiday, are we not? We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Tom Gipping of the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk with him about the Supreme Court and all these cases that are coming up. We just had one recently having to do with elections and state legislatures versus the judiciary when it comes to setting the rules. So stay tuned for that. And the walls continue to close in on Hunter Biden as more whistleblower testimony comes out. We're going to take a look at the latest info. Stay tuned for that as well. And a bunch of Walt Disney executives packing their bags and leaving, departing, divorcing themselves from Mickey Mouse. We're going to tell you why a little bit later. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 deadliest beaches in America. And we'll tell you what that means when we talk about it a little bit later. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, this is the place that I recommend. It is located just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. Call for your appointment first, if you would. 727-733-3773. You're going to get a great haircut at a great price. And we're also sponsored by Arbor Life Tree Service. And I'll tell you what, if it has anything to do with trees, you got to call Arbor Life. Whether it's removal, it's enhancement, it's stump removal, it's making the trees grow stronger, better, etc. Anything to do with trees. Arbor Life Tree Service. It is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. All right. So as usual, there is a lot going on. I guess there's a lot of airport trouble from what I can understand. I'm glad I'm not traveling anywhere these days. But I think the 4th of July weekend, which is coming up next weekend, I think, what is the 4th on a Tuesday or something like. Anyway, going to be a lot of traveling over the weekend this coming. And apparently they're already having problems with backups. And we'll maybe see what's going on with that a little bit later. Ed, you got any comment on
They're just saying it's weather.
Weather-related.
Yeah. Right now. And of course, Trump's fault.
Well, of course it's Trump's fault. Everything is Trump's fault. Biden is Trump's fault.
How do you think we're going to handle the 4th of July? You think people just blow right through the Monday and just say, well, I'll tell their boss I'll see you on Wednesday?
I think so. Yeah. I was thinking about that myself.
It's kind of hard when it's in a rough spot. See, because if it's on a Wednesday,
right,
you can just take, just a foregone conclusion, you can take Thursday and Friday off.
Well, I was going to say that you're kind of stuck with one day if it's Wednesday, but maybe I'm wrong. But Tuesday, you can get away with taking off Monday. That is for sure.
Yeah.
The worst thing for people that like to take extra days off is having it fall on a Saturday or a Sunday, because then you don't get any days off. Yeah. Your boss ain't going to let you get off. But anyway, we're getting closer, are we not? In the meantime, if you listen to Joe Biden and his minions, the economy's great. Hmm. What are we complaining about? Everything he's doing is working. Lots of scratching heads yesterday after the White House and its principal deputy press secretary, Olivia Dalton, asserted that President Biden's economic policies are, quote, incredibly popular, unquote, as Americans start to feel the impact of his agenda. So during the White House press briefing yesterday, Dalton spoke about Biden's upcoming speech on Wednesday, which is today, his upcoming speech today, where he is expected to tout the value of Bidenomics as part of his reelection campaign. I mean, we're doing great ever since he got in. Prices are going down.
Well,
gasoline is cheaper.
No, wait a minute.
Is this... All kinds of, well, I'm not finished. All kinds of products overflowing on the shelves. Interest rates are down. Everything's good. I'm sorry, Ed. Go ahead.
The way they spin the gas is Biden says it's a dollar and a half cheaper than its peak. But he doesn't say it's double what it was when I took office.
Yeah, it was like $1.69 when you took office.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it now? We're spending $3.75 around here.
Yeah, it's about $3.50.
Yeah.
$3.40, $3.50.
Whatever. It's pretty doggone expensive. And here in Tampa Bay, we actually get lower rates than most of the rest of the country. I can imagine what they're spending out in California these days. They're spending over $5, aren't they?
Yeah,
easily
over $5.
Yeah. So come on, as he would say, come on, man. And then, you ever hear when he's talking, he'll go, "Yeah, you know, I'm telling. Let me tell you the truth. I'm telling you the truth here." And as soon as he says that, he launches into a big fib. Ever notice that when he starts to talk?
Well, he's starting to catch himself.
Because I'm not kidding. And then he launches into a complete fib.
Because then now he's going off on the I'm getting off script here, and I'm going to get in trouble. Now that's his out.
You mean when he talked about creating the railway from the Pacific to the Indian Ocean? Well, what's wrong with that? I think it'd be fun.
That and he sold secrets or something like that. I sold her.
Yeah, he made a joke about selling secrets. That went over like a lead balloon. Everybody started.
You see, Grandpa at the table that just won't shut up and stop moaning.
So here he is and his minions talking about how great things are. He's expected to tout the value of Bidenomics, part of his reelection campaign. Despite this framing, multiple reporters noted the president has frequently received low approval ratings regarding the economy and asked how his speech would affect Americans' opinions. The press secretary, again, this is a new one, Olivia Dalton, she said, well, what I would say is that the president's economic policies are incredibly popular. When you ask people what they think about investing in our roads, bridges, and airports, when you ask people what they think about educating and empowering workers, when you ask people about how they feel about reshoring and manufacturing and investing in America, those things are incredibly popular. And she goes on to say, and we find that when we go out and we talk to people about it, they support Bidenomics. Oh, my God. And she says, and so that's exactly what the president is going to be doing in Chicago today. Well, she said it yesterday, so apparently he's in Chicago today. She says, that's exactly why we're talking to Americans about everything that he's doing to make sure that we grow the economy by growing the middle class and giving people the support they need to grow our economy for us. Hey, do you notice that sometimes they'll talk about, with a real sneer, trickle-down economics. They always, when Reagan was president, they made fun of him for what they called trickle-down economics. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you empower the people that create the jobs and the wealthier people, if they've got money, it turns out that everybody else gets better. But socialists and Democrats always, and so Biden says, no, we're going to grow the middle from the middle class out. So here's my question. What does he mean by growing it from the middle class out? How do you grow from the middle class out? What is his plan to grow our economy from the middle class out? I would like somebody to tell me how he's planning on doing that.
It's just a buzz phrase.
It's a buzz phrase. It means nothing. Nothing. And if he thinks, I mean, his popularity is not budging. It's not going upwards. It's staying low. And nobody's being fooled by the economy. That is the number one biggest worry on the minds of people. The cost of buying stuff. That's the big problem. Anyway, we'll just see how he gets along. I guess he's going to be starting to be more out on the campaign trail, and that should be fun to watch. Anyway, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Tom Gipping is going to join us. We're going to change horses. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court and some of its upcoming rulings.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I gave a girl a ride in the wagon. She crawled in and took control.
Thank you so very, very much for being with us. Delighted to have Tom Gipping join us. Tom is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Meese Center for Judicial and Legal Studies, and he's very kind to take time this morning to talk with us. We're going to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court. They've got a lot of cases that are in the hopper that will be coming out pretty soon. They just had one come out, I guess, Tom, that has to do with federal elections and the role of state legislature. I say federal elections, elections that are actually held in the states, but the role of the state legislatures versus the role of the judiciary when it comes to deciding certain things that there might be questions about. First of all, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Could you talk a little bit about, first of all, one of the early cases that finally came out about the Supreme Court kind of rejecting what, the independent state legislature theory?
Yeah, we are down to the last couple of days of the Supreme Court's term, actually. Traditionally, it goes from the first Monday in October till the end of June, and they have seven cases to still announce, which they're apparently going to announce tomorrow and Friday. The one you're referring to, it's kind of an obscure legal issue, but it makes a big difference as to who controls elections at the state level. And you're right, this does refer to federal elections, but states have a lot of control over the how those elections are conducted. And the Constitution's view, as I understand it, is that that's to be left to legislatures, that courts are to have a minimal role. But right. The Supreme Court, this is one of those cases where the Chief Justice departed from the views of the more conservative justices like Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch. He doesn't always do that, and he had some very good opinions in some cases this term. But that was yesterday's, and then there's really the biggest cases of the term, I think, that will be coming down tomorrow on Friday.
Right. In this one, it was 6-3, and like you said, the most conservative voices, Alito, Thomas, and Neil Gorsuch, dissented. But that left Kavanaugh, who sometimes swings over. He's kind of like the Chief Justice sometimes. I've noticed that he might not always be totally like one-sided. It also, Amy Coney Barrett was on the side of allowing more judiciary involvement as well.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I think we should resist the temptation to put every single justice in a single box. If you look at just this term, you know, Justice Thomas paired up with Kagan and Sotomayor on different cases, and or we should resist the temptation to just look at who wins and who loses to see whether, you know, to decide whether a decision was right or wrong. It takes a little bit more work to look at how these decisions were made, and that really tells the tale as to what kind of justice we have on.
Indeed. So what are some of these other cases that we are waiting to hear about that will probably, like you say, come out maybe tomorrow and Friday?
I think there's four of them. Two of them combine into a single decision, and those are the affirmative action cases coming out of North Carolina and Harvard University. University of North Carolina is a public school, so that is an application of the 14th Amendment. Harvard is a private school, but it does receive government funds. That's why it's in the same category. It's interesting that Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who has served on Harvard's board, won't participate in that case. She will participate in the North Carolina case. I don't think that will make any difference as to the outcome. And I hope that the Supreme Court gives us a definitive decision of vindicating what I think a lot of us thought had been a settled principle, that you can't discriminate on the basis of race in college admissions. In these cases, they're brought by a group called Students for Fair Admissions, and we're talking more about a really discriminatory impact on Asian American students. I don't think, of course, that should matter, and I hope we get a clear decision on that.
Yeah, in fact, I know there was one particular situation, an Asian American student. He had like a outstanding SAT score. He was rejected by six elite colleges.
It's shocking, some of these cases, and the examples like the one you gave, I think, rival or are more egregious than really anything we've seen in the past against any racial group. And if these decisions are being made solely on the basis of race, these schools are trying to create a statistical distribution based on race, and that requires kicking out some people just because they're Asian, and I think that's wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and they tend to do very well. Let's be honest. Asian Americans work hard, study hard. It's almost a part of their culture. This gentleman had a 1590 out of 1600 on an SAT, which is perfect.
I'm a slouch compared to that.
Yes, indeed.
And that's just outstanding, and no one should be denied.
Absolutely.
He should. In this country.
The welcome mat should have been out for him for any school he wanted to go to, you would think. But no, that was not the case. Another one that I think people are waiting on is this, speaking of colleges, is the funding and the student loan. Talk about that one a little bit.
Sure. That's called Biden versus Nebraska. People will remember when the president just unilaterally, quote, forgave student loan debt. Of course, that's even a misnomer. Student loan debt doesn't just disappear. It gets put on someone else. And the question here is whether the president can just do that unilaterally. A number of states have filed suit as to whether that plan exceeds the, you know, the statutory authority of the education secretary, or whether Congress would have to change the law in order to do that. One of the issues there is whether states have legal standing to bring this kind of a suit. They would say, by the president's doing what it did, it shifted a lot of the cost of student loans to the states. You may know that just a few days ago in Texas versus United States, involving the president's unilateral action on immigration, the Supreme Court said states did not have standing to challenge. So that's going to be a very interesting case involving just how much power a president unilaterally has.
Yeah, and I would be shocked if it isn't very one-sided against his being able to just issue an executive authority statement, forgive him.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 8-1, 9-0. But we'll see where that one goes.
Let me mention another important case that might not have gotten as many headlines, and that's a case called Groff versus DeJoy. The Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits religious discrimination, but it also requires employers to accommodate the religious practices of their employees. It's an affirmative requirement as well as a negative prohibition on discrimination. And the question's always been, what kind of a burden is that on employees? How far do they have to go to accommodate the religious practices of employees? Unfortunately, shortly after the Civil Rights Act was passed, back in 1977, the Supreme Court said that anything more than a, quote, de minimis burden on an employer is too much. Well, de minimis basically means nothing, which took that accommodation requirement and basically neutralized it. And so for the last 45 years or so, employers haven't had to do almost anything to accommodate the religious practices of their employees. This case involves someone who worked for UPS. They were being required to work on Sunday. There were plenty of other people who could have, you know, taken that shift. And this employee said, let me do another shift on a different day because I don't want to violate my Sabbath. UPS said no. So this will test whether the Civil Rights Act of 1964 means what it says, that employers genuinely have to, in good faith, try to accommodate the religious practices of their employees.
Tom, do you have any idea of which way the court may go on this one?
Well, it's essentially a statutory construction case. In other words, there's not a constitutional issue involved. It's more of a practical, what does this statute say and what does the plain language mean? And there is a majority on this court that favors that sort of objective, straightforward reading. It's just that there's this precedent where the court interpreted that provision in the wrong way, and sometimes those precedents, especially regarding statutes, are tougher to get rid of. So I hope they overrule that 1977 decision, but we'll see.
Indeed. We're talking with Tom Gipping, who is a senior legal fellow at Heritage Foundation's Meese Center for Judicial and Legal Studies. We're talking about cases that the Supreme Court will be, they've already been decided, they just haven't been published yet. And these cases, boy, there's a lot of important ones too, will be coming out within the next couple of days. Tom, let me ask you a question. All of a sudden, Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas are coming under the microscope for befriending people, befriending some wealthy friend or having friends that are very wealthy, and getting together with them on certain kinds of excursions or trips. And if you, they're getting together and they're actually sitting down and trying to figure out how they can help out when it comes to the cases in court and stuff like that. I'm not so sure that it's anything more than an innocent get-together, but I did kind of want to get your thought on.
While none of those so-called journalists have even suggested a shred of evidence that anything other than going on a vacation with a friend is going on here, this is part of a very underhanded and very dangerous campaign to undermine the legitimacy of the Supreme Court in the eyes of the American people. These leftists know that most people have no idea what the rules about disclosing gifts or trips and all that sort of technical stuff. They have no idea what that is. So you plant these little seeds, you tell a story that's maybe two-thirds accurate, you drop an innuendo here or there, and of course all of these attacks are directed at conservative justices. The liberals have done the same kinds of things, and they've done it for years, but these folks, because they have an agenda, they're only directing their criticism and their sort of campaign of misinformation against the conservative justice.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, this, you know, getting together with people, justices have been doing this forever. And
well,
go ahead.
The real question is whether they're required to disclose it. The rules are clear. Only until a few months ago did a justice have to disclose what's called personal hospitality from a friend. In other words, flying on their plane, staying in their home, going fishing with them. None of that had to be disclosed until just a few months ago. And you know, unless people think that simply knowing a rich person is enough to make a justice biased or something, that's crazy.
I think so, too.
And the left knows that. The left knows that people don't understand those rules, and so they're manipulating public opinion. We already have more than 60% of Americans who think the Supreme Court decides cases based on politics rather than the law. We go further down that road, and it's going to destroy the independent judiciary that we've really been blessed to have for all these years.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think, and people are easily swayed these days, you know, with all of the trouble that's going on in Washington. They're just kind of, I think with the one group that we can kind of, that are keeping their heads above water a little bit in Washington, it is the Supreme Court.
Well, that's certainly true in general, but especially with the judicial branch. It's kind of a mystery to most people. If you don't get prosecuted for a crime or sue someone, you know, you really won't have anything to do with the courts. And so, understandably, it's a little bit harder to kind of grasp and to be comfortable with knowing what's going on in that branch. The left takes advantage of that in a way that is really destroying our independence.
You're right. I agree with you. Well, Tom, a real pleasure. Thank you so very much for coming on this morning. I really mean that. And very, very interesting. Looking forward to talking with you again down the road.
Glad to do it. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Tom Jipping, Heritage Foundation. All right. Going to take a break. When we come back, a bunch of Walt Disney executives are packing their bags, leaving town. We're going to tell you why.
You fill up my senses like night in a forest, like the mountains in springtime, like a walk in the rain.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal. You get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Wednesday. Hope you're feeling good. Awfully warm outside right now. Well, the media continue to focus in on Donald Trump, of course, despite everything that's going on with Hunter Biden and his father. Former President Trump insisting that he did nothing wrong as he reacted to a leaked recording of him apparently discussing what he described as highly confidential documents in his possession. He's on tape. He's talking about apparently a document that he had that had something to do with plans with another country. But Trump said this. He said, "I would say election interference more than anything else right now is the big thing. It's a disgrace that they can do it. We did nothing wrong and everybody knows it." So he's, of course, been indicted and arraigned for his improper, so-called improper retention of classified records. He's pleaded not guilty. But there's an audio recording, and of course, CNN found it and jumped on it. It appears to show Trump discussing classified material during a July 2021 meeting at his golf club. He is heard saying, "These are the papers," and then while he's apparently discussing top secret U.S. military attack plans on Iran, he says on tape that the plan came from Pentagon officials. Well, we got our buddy Andrew the Master Barber with us. And Andrew, that just seems like, of course, if you can catch Trump doing anything that seems the least bit off the track, they're going to jump on him, right?
Well, Paul, it's amazing. They got recordings of Hunter Biden talking like the Godfather.
Yes, they do.
Okay, where's the money? And if you don't give me the money, I'm here by the big man, and you know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think that's not a recording. To be honest, that's a text. But you
I'm sorry.
But that's all right. The text is, and I'll tell you what, the Bidens and their attorneys have not said that it's a fake text. They are pretty much, you know.
Paul, you know where all this is going, even with Trump. It's going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
All they're doing is giving Trump more publicity.
Yeah.
You know, Trump was probably trying to show he's a big man, and the paper was probably declassified to begin with, and he just said, "Hey, check what I got here," you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows Donald Trump, okay? That's part of him. It's no different than what Biden is doing, and how come they aren't doing anything about that?
Yeah.
You know what I want to know? Who recorded that? And why?
That's a good one.
Well, he was, that's a good question. He was at his own place.
That's right.
Let's see here. Why would they, how would they have, unless the person he was talking to on the phone. It says here, an audio recording obtained by CNN. And
hey, you know what else, too?
What?
You know how they do that voice stuff now where they can turn around and make your voice sound like anybody else's, buddy? I don't underestimate that.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the case. I think that Trump is not disowning the recording at this point.
And he's saying it's nothing.
What Trump says is it's not really a document. Trump's coming out to say it's not really a document. He was pointing to things like newspaper clippings and stuff like that. But I'm not so sure.
Yeah, and if this was a real court of law, they would have to prove that it's a fake, and they're not interested in that. They don't want hard evidence. They just want circumstantial. They don't care what it is. Hearsay, whatever.
Yeah. They're good. He will come out smelling like a rose.
You think he will? Here's the thing.
I can almost guarantee it.
Here's the thing, and I worry about this. You and I have talked about it. There are so many people that just ain't going to vote for Trump. And can he get enough votes this time around? He's the one guy I worry about losing to Joe Biden.
You know, Paul, I don't believe the American people can be that stupid.
Well, they were the last time.
You know, you're convinced that it was done legally, and I'm convinced that it wasn't.
When it's 8 or 9 million votes, I don't think there were enough illegal votes to cover 8 or 9 million difference between Trump and Biden. That's my concern.
My theory is where those votes came from.
Yeah, but that's 8 or 9 million. You think 8 or 9 million?
Yeah, it's in the past.
Well, then it's going to happen again.
Well,
What's going to change?
If that doesn't change, that means Jesus can run, and he's not going to win.
Well, I'm thinking that Trump, because of all the people that don't like him, Trump is the one guy I worry about. Whereas if somebody like DeSantis is our nominee, I think he's got a better shot at
shot, but you got to realize what people are talking about with Ron. Ron is lacking one thing. And know what that is? It's charisma. Now, I can tell you this. If Donald Trump does not appear at the primary debates, they're going to have the same ratings as CNN. Now, if Trump appears on there, the ratings are going to go off to the sky.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the ratings will increase if Trump shows up. It doesn't sound like he's going to, but I'm not so sure that that's a good idea either. Trump is under a cloud, let's be honest, no matter what.
And that's all right. Everybody's under a cloud here or there.
Yeah, I agree. And I would hope that there are enough people that would turn around and go, you know, we had 4 years of Biden, he's a crook and he doesn't know what he's doing. But I'm so worried because there are so many people in this country that can't stand Donald Trump.
But you know, Paul, what they can't stand either, okay, is people are realizing what they are doing to this one person, period. And they know that they're overstepping their powers. So a lot of people that don't like Trump are still going to vote for him because they know that could happen to them.
Well, they didn't vote for him again after he spent 4 years being pounded by them. That's what I'm worried about. I think it's already cooked in. I think the numbers are cooked in. I really worry about that. And if they are cooked in, and if there was an 8 or 9 million vote plurality for Biden, I don't see how Trump's going to be able to beat him because both of them have a lot of negatives.
Paul, if the American people are that stupid to put Biden back in office, you know what?
I know.
They deserve everything they get.
I agree with you.
Everything.
I agree.
And you know
with
what?
You.
They're already regretting it, Paul. I hear it every day. And not only in my barbershop, Paul, I'm out anywhere. And you know I open my mouth. I'll be in Home Depot and I open my mouth. And you know how many people sit there and say, you're right. We've had enough.
I agree.
I hear it all the time.
I agree. But we are in the beautiful state of Florida that tends to be red. If you were wandering around in the Home Depot in Massachusetts, I'm not so sure you'd get the same response.
Listen, Massachusetts is in a world by itself. They need to go back to making shoes, okay? Massachusetts, give me a break, all right?
All right. No, you're right. I find this whole thing totally interesting. I do. And let's say that the a primary debate coming up. Is it August?
It's in August.
Yeah. Maybe Trump will, by then, maybe we'll have a little bit clearer idea of this whole thing with his troubles with these documents and everything. Maybe we'll get past that.
Paul, you know, they used to call John Gotti the Teflon Don. Not anymore. Donald Trump is the Teflon Don.
Well, I would hope, I hope you're right.
I believe I am, Paul.
Yeah.
Because the truth keeps coming out more and more every day. A little bit, it just keeps chipping away the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the man up above is making it happen. Believe me when I tell you.
We got a lot of these, going back to Hunter Biden and his threats and everything else, we got a lot of whistleblowers coming out and saying that the Attorney General has definitely put his thumb on the scale. Whereas, you know, Merrick Garland you know, comes out and he says, no, 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 I'm allowing, this is a Trump prosecutor and blah, blah. It's this guy, they got to get this guy Weiss, who's the prosecutor. He has been stifled trying to go and pull information out from various places. They continue to rein him in and say, oh, no, you can't go there. No, no, you can't open up anything that has to do with Joe Biden. You got to stick with Hunter Biden. Well, how can you do that when Hunter Biden's directly involved with his father, you know?
Paul, people are seeing the same thing you are seeing, okay? I cannot believe that all the American people are that stupid. I'll give, okay, even 40% can be that stupid. The 60% has got to win because there's no way people see what's happening and believe anything is right.
I mean, I agree. I mean, look at the morass that we're in, or the malaise. That's the term they used when Carter was president. We're in a double malaise with Biden.
And look at the other day, they sent another $500 million to the Ukraine.
Well, we know he's in cahoots with Ukraine. We got that figured out already. He's taking $10 million, five for the big guy and five for the little guy. When it comes to Ukraine,
like I said, they make organized crime in the old days look like Mary Poppins.
I think they do.
And this is all going to go down before the election. Believe me,
mm-hmm.
People, it just keeps chipping away, and the truth is coming out more every day. And sooner or later, the news media themselves is going to have to report on it.
Do you think
they chip away a little here and a little there? But
do you think
they're going?
Mm-hmm. No,
go ahead.
I was just going to ask you: do you think they're going to impeach or should impeach Merrick Garland?
Of course, they should tar and feather the little sucker.
How about Christopher Wray, the FBI director?
Another one. Tar and feather him like they used to in the old days, buddy.
How about the big guy? Should he be tar?
Oh, my God. They need to put him in an Alzheimer home and take away his Social Security. Are you kidding me?
Well, I think it's ridiculous the way the cackling hens on The View are spinning this now, that the whole Hunter Biden going to the state dinner and going to Camp David is a father that is cuddling, showing love to his son. Yet I can remember about 3 years ago, radio shows or whatever, saying that Donald Trump hiring his children, it's nepotism and you can't do that, blah, blah. He actually gave them jobs where they actually fulfilled and did something and amounted to something and weren't smoking crack and doing deals with foreign countries enemies.
They were involved in the private sector with their own jobs. They weren't going dealing with government officials all over the world payments from them.
Trump has kids that actually mount to something in their lives.
Yeah.
And you don't hear them say, all it was all he shouldn't involve them. He shouldn't involve them.
How about the Biden White House repeatedly saying that they're going to be the most transparent administration in American history, and yet visitor logs completely censoring every trip that Joe's son Hunter made to see Daddy in the White House?
Well, they are transparent. We know everything that's been going on. We just don't do nothing about it.
Yeah.
It's transparent as can be.
Yeah, but not thanks to the Biden administration, it's not transparent as can be. If I was innocent, and Joe Biden claims that he knows nothing about anything, I would want to sit down with a reporter and take the questions and explain why there's nothing going on. There's nothing here. You guys are all mixed, you know, if that was true. But no, he won't take any questions.
First
he won't
of all,
sit
the
down
reporters.
With a discussion about this topic whatsoever.
I don't think they want him to.
Of course they don't. That's
because
the
he'll
point.
Go off script. He'll go off
he'll
script.
He'll go off script, yeah. but the point is he's got something to hide.
You got everything to hide.
Yeah.
But it's not hidden.
Well, it's not hidden thanks to certain groups that are pushing the button and certain guys that you got to give, you got to salute in the IRS that are whistleblowers that are coming forward and are willing to talk.
What do you think about Adam Schiff being censored, huh?
Yeah. There's another, that's another one. The Democrats just, pal around him, gather him, singing his praises while they're censuring him. And, oh, my God.
This is another
look at how they stick together.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They stick together. The Republicans don't.
Yeah. And they impeached Trump on a phone call? Are you kidding?
Hearsay.
With a hearsay phone call with what is going on with Hunter Biden and his father? It's unbelievable.
Well, this is where I'm saying, you know, you could think everything you want to think right now, but the country is in such an uproar and the truth keeps coming out more and more every day.
I hope you're
Between
right.
Between now and then, things are going to change, believe me.
I'm hoping so, Andrew.
Hey, one more thing. I wish your brother was on for this, but because it involves the great state of New York, that Mayor Adams up there, who just, I think it was a show about a couple of months ago, was talking about his love for pizza and how it brings couples together. Now, Mayor Adams has decided that in the state of New York, that all pizzerias should, if they are using wood or coal-fired ovens, should be banned because they're contributing to the pollution of this country. Well, meanwhile, he gets in and out of his limousine.
He has more pollution coming in and out of his limousine.
Yeah.
And how about John Kerry flying around on those private jets talking about this whole thing? What a bunch of hypocrites.
All I know is if I was the mayor, I'd make sure I got a lot of security around me. Now, they start talking about the pizza. That's a whole other world, buddy.
That's right. Give me pizza or give me death.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
All right, buddy. Be good.
All right. Thank you. All right. We're going to take a short break. And I mean a short one. We'll come back and finish up, give you the top 10 deadliest beaches in America.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
If you own a home, I bet you're flooded with tree service mailers. So who do you call? ArborLife Tree Service is my choice. When I needed a bunch of trees taken down, they did it safely and at a great price. But ArborLife not only removes trees, they plant trees, they trim them, they prune, they spray, and they fertilize as well. They're ISA certified, they're veteran owned. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Call them for a free estimate. 727-330-1999. That's 727-330-1999. ArborLife Tree Service. They really will go out on a limb for you. Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Don't forget, if you can't listen live, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to us anytime you want by going to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all our shows on podcast. All right, before we get to the top 10, Ed, a Florida sheriff expressed frustration with beachgoers ignoring warning signs about dangerous water days before an NFL quarterback drowned.
I saw that.
Did you know about this guy?
Yeah, Ryan Mallett.
Ryan Mallett. Did you know about him?
Yeah, he backed up Tom Brady in New England.
He drowned in the waters near Destin.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was riptides or what it was. They had the double red flags out. A lot of people were ignoring the warnings. And the sheriff there said, I'm beyond frustrated at the situation that we have with tragic and unnecessary deaths in the Gulf. He says, I've watched while deputies, firefighters, and lifeguards have risked their lives to save strangers that are swimming in these waters at the wrong time. This is very sad. This kind of falls in line with our top 10 deadliest beaches, by the way. So we're going to get to that right now as well. And, of course, this is the time of the year where everybody is getting into the water all over the country.
There's been a lot of sharks in the areas, too.
Yeah, that's another thing. So this is from Travel Lens. These are the top 10 deadliest beaches in America. So here we go. Number 10. Number 10 is Fort Lauderdale, the Atlantic Ocean beach. Beaches in the...
Now, is this a combination of riptides and
actually,
sharks? Or?
This is a combination of things that have to do with both sharks, weather, riptides, even possibility of stormy weather.
Yeah, because, I mean, Clearwater Beach, you get struck by lightning.
You can get struck by lightning
at
Clearwater Beach. That's very true.
Year.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe they're on here. We're going to find out. Mm. Number 9. Gulf Shores, Alabama. Now, that's on the Gulf of Mexico, of course. And that's where you can go, and I think there's gambling up in Gulf Shores. Number 8. Oak Island, North Carolina. So that would be the Atlantic Ocean area. I don't know much about that one, but apparently it's a dangerous place. Number 7. Back to Florida. Jacksonville Beach, Florida. I guess that would be on the Gulf, right?
Yep.
Number 6, Melbourne Beach. That would be on the Atlantic Ocean. I'm going through these rather quick because we're going to stop at a couple here along the way to talk a little bit more in depth about them. Number 5 is Myrtle Beach. That's a very popular place. Mm-hmm. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Number 4. I want to stop here. This is Panama City Beach, Florida. It is also, right recently, an area where a bunch of people have died. Panama City Beach is what many consider now really the deadliest beach, although it's listed number 4 by TravelLens. And it's 3 more tourists died while swimming in Panama Beach area in the Gulf over the weekend. Did you know that? 3 separate fatal water incidents happened Saturday off the coast of Panama City Beach. Though it was unclear if the victims drowned or had another medical emergency, they were swimming in behind different resorts up there, according to the newspaper. A total of 7 people have died at the beach in the past 9 days.
Well, a lot of storms have gone through that area, and that can create the rip currents.
And the rip currents are the things you got to worry about.
Yep. And they'll suck you right under.
They'll suck you out.
They
suck you under.
Right. They pull you out.
They'll
what
pull
people
you
do
further
is
out.
Fight. That people fight.
They fight.
Try to swim back to shore.
Don't swim straight back.
It's basically just to let it go.
Let it go and float. Or swim parallel.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you swim parallel, you'll get out of the tide.
Right.
It's not that long or wide or whatever it is. All right. So number 3. Ormond Beach, Florida. I guess that's on the Atlantic side,
it
right?
Is. No. Yes.
Okay. Number 2. Not far away. Cocoa Beach, Florida. They're all in Florida. I'm not surprised. Number 1. You want to guess?
We go to Miami, I don't know.
That's as good as any. It's New Smyrna Beach. Mm. There have been 32 shark attacks since 2010 in New Smyrna. That is twice as many as any other beach in the U.S. This beach, by the way, is located south of Daytona on the Atlantic and has gained the quaint nickname Shark Bite Capital of the World.
Wow.
A new study by the digital travel magazine TravelLens ranked them number 1, and Shark Bite Beach took top honors.
Wow.
So between Panama City and Shark Bite Beach, New Smyrna, be careful out there, will you?
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks so much. We'll be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.